The indie farming hit Stardew Valley, where stylish pixel graphics will hook you as you build your perfect farm, is just one of the excellent titles available to play now on Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
It is a photography simulator, sort of inspired by my interests and the photography that I've done over the last couple of years. But at its core, it's about the environments. Like, I've really tried to just recreate a lot of places from around the world in lots of detail and tried to keep them authentic and tried to give the game a rich atmosphere. So be out there on your own, just like not have a true goal aside from get from A to B. So I think I do want to kind of promote like the enjoyment you get from just being immersed in where you are and just like wandering around. So I hope people feel that way when they play.
Sifter.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Lightmap from Sifter, our video game interview show. I'm Gianni DiGiovanni. Today, we look down the lens at beautiful vistas ahead of us. Lush Foil Photography Simulator, developer Matt Newell, lines us up for the shot. Before we jump into that, here's what's been making the news this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletto.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 13th of April.
Nintendo Switch 2 games will come with a physical download unlocking cartridge instead of data on the cart for some titles.
Up-resed versions of Switch 1 games will run you about $10 to $15 to play on Switch 2.
Bellatro devs are once again fighting a censorship battle after videos were restricted.
And an overzealous upload to Steam has leaked the release date of Mafia: The Old Country.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
You're listening to Lightmap, interesting conversations with video game creators.
I spent a lot of time looking in the viewfinder as a kid. My family worked as freelance journalists, and many of my school holidays were all around the southwest and the north and all parts of Australia. I love photography. I actually had a dark room in my house as a kid, which is something that is pretty unusual, I imagine, for most people. There's something magic about capturing that perfect moment where you just let the light in just right. Australian developer Matt Newell, I'm sure, feels the same way. With a new game published by Annapurna Interactive, Lush Foil Photography Simulator, which features some of the locations I visited as a child. Matt, welcome to Lightmap.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, tell me, what is Lush Foil?
Well, it's a video game project that I started around 6 years ago. I see it as like a sort of like a compilation of all of the 3D environments that I've been able to create over the last few years. It is a photography simulator, sort of inspired by my interests and the photography that I've done over the last couple of years. But at its core, it's about the environments. Like, I've really tried to just recreate a lot of places from around the world in lots of detail and tried to keep them authentic and tried to give the game a rich atmosphere. So I don't know if I'm the best at explaining it, but there you go.
It's quite interesting, actually, as I was sort of playing the game and I was kind of thinking, well, actually, every time you play a game, you're basically a camera anyway, right? Effectively, the way you look at the world has different focal length, it has aperture, it has, you know, depth of field, all of those bits and pieces. Is that kind of the idea where this sort of photography thing kind of came from, or is that kind of just an interesting coincidence?
It's a coincidence, I guess. I think I started adding these mechanics just because they were fun. Like, I had the environments there to begin with. And then the first thing I wanted to do was take nice screenshots of what I'd made, like screenshots and videos. So added a couple of light screenshot mechanics, and then just started to slowly build on that and like make something that's a more encompassing package of what it's like to use a camera. And so, yeah, that's how it came about. But yeah, it was never the camera at the start. It was always, just the environments that I made. And it was just fun to, you know, add stuff and add different layers on what I was doing. If it was fun, I would add it.
Take me right back to the beginning. Why did you start making these environments?
Well, it was photography first. I did photography in high school. I went on to study computer systems engineering in Perth. I kept photography going out of high school into uni, and I picked up Unreal Engine as a hobby while I was studying, and I just found it really, really kind of liberating to like be able to manipulate an environment like in ways that you could never do in the real world. Like if you're a photographer, you would know that it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of timing to get the right conditions, like when you're doing an outdoor shoot. But with Unreal, you can just like make everything from scratch. You can like move trees, move mountains like a little bit like to the left if that's what you want. Stuff that you could never do in real life. So I just had a lot of fun messing around and seeing how I could get things to look. And I was very inspired by a lot of the tech that was coming out at the time. I started developing like about 8 years ago. There were games like there was a Star Wars Battlefront that DICE produced, a bunch of AAA games like the Assassin's Creed always looked really good. I just wanted to see like how realistic I could make something. So I would often use my own photography as reference, just like pull it up beside the Unreal Editor and just like look back and forth and try and, make something.
Some of the places that are featured in the game, including like Mealup Beach, in sort of around that area, and that areas that are kind of captured there. And obviously you're not going to be able to make 100% one-to-one replication of the places that you are making in there. But I'm just wondering what it is about each of those locations that you feature, what it is about you wanted to capture that meant that it just really evoked the feeling of being there, even if it isn't like a, you know, like a 3D map scanned into the game, which people can do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I still did have to piece it together almost from scratch. I found it really difficult to find like natively Australian 3D models like for plants and things, because there's not a whole lot of that online. Like I do source a lot of my assets online, just because I'm working by myself and it's sort of a necessity in order to get something produced, get something finished. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there, but the difference came in like how I tried to just match everything really well. Like if I wanted to use like a European tree that had some of the same qualities, I would just like put it into Unreal, like do all this color matching, use my photos as reference, like try and make something a little bit more authentic. So I guess if you're Australian and you walk around in the environment, you'll probably maybe notice some of the plants are not exactly there, but I guess the goal was really just to capture like the feeling of being there. Like if it feels like it looks hot and all of the plants have like that Australian like yellowish tinge to them, and if it even a little bit feels like you're there, then that's what I'm.
Yeah, it was nice when I was walking through and I found on a table some sunscreen that was sitting there, and it was exactly the type that I have sitting in my car currently. And I thought, you know, this is those little things that probably don't make a huge amount to people who don't visit those places in real life. I don't live there, but that sort of feature is something really nice about that area there. I'm curious about like some of the other locations you've included, because the temple that's in Kyoto, that's in the demo there, it actually feels like a video game level because there's so many torii gates there, and it doesn't even feel like a real place in many respects, but I know that it is a real place because I've seen the real photos of it. Can you tell me about capturing some of those sort of environments?
I have been to the shrine temple in Kyoto a couple of times now. I think in the exact same way that I made the Australian beach, like I just tried to make it as authentic as possible, match all the colors, the feeling. When I first went there, it was bright summer's day, like the sounds of cicadas everywhere. I understand for someone who hasn't been there, it probably does feel like a video game because it's a common theme, I suppose. But But yeah, I just tried to, yeah, just, I really wanted to convey the feeling I had when I first got there. So yeah, I think, yeah, I'm pretty happy with how it turned out, that environment in particular.
One of the things that's kind of interesting to me in the way that you kind of pitch it is it's sort of comes from like beauty and sort of aesthetics first. And can you tell me a bit about your sort of design decisions around making the game and the gameplay around that sort of element?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Like I guess from the start, I'd never envisioned it to be a game. Like I actually made the environment for different purposes, like to use for cinematics and things. So I guess I just, while it became a game, I sort of never saw it as something I really wanted to look kind of gamey. Like I noticed a lot of games have, you know, like lots of UI on the screen, lots of like highlighted objects that are really like bright, lots of like objective markers and things like things to do. But I just wanted to keep it at its core, just like an immersive experience. Like, yeah, like just to match the way you would feel when you were walking around, I guess.
Something interesting you said there is you didn't really kind of anticipate it being a game, but what was the point where it, okay, now this is a game? Was there a particular conversation you had, or did you just add something in? You're like, now it is a video game.
Well, I just had the idea once when I once I'd created the environment, because Unreal Engine, because it's a real time software, it had a bunch of has a bunch of templates where you can put something together without too much effort. I would use their like first person template and just like stick it in the scene and then see how it looked. And then from that moment, I thought, oh, I'll try and like, you know, put it into a downloadable build and put it out somewhere people can download for free. And so that's what I did for the first couple of years when I'd finished each of these environments. I would just package them into a little executable you can download on Windows, and then people enjoyed them. It did pick up a bit of traction. But then, yeah, it was after doing that for a while, I thought I'll try and make a compilation. And then that moment was when I thought it had to be a bigger project, I suppose.
What was it like to kind of go from, you know, taking this world and then actually making it and getting a publisher and turning it into something real that's going to be out in a couple of weeks' time?
I know, it's just been very, very slow and gradual. It was never like one moment, I suppose. I was pitching to a bunch of publishers. And then like through this experience with Annapurna, I've actually learned like how big it can get, you know, like how much time and energy it takes to get products out there, you know, especially in terms of consoles and different platforms and things. So yeah, it's all been a real learning experience for me. I guess the project has gone a lot longer than expected, as most game projects usually do. But it was always something I wanted to put a decent amount of time into and to, yeah, turn into a compilation, just because I had a bunch of these like separate projects and I just thought like, well, you know, if I do a couple more and just like put them into like a neat package, then hopefully, people will enjoy it. I was inspired by some games I've been playing with like different environments. Like I was playing Mario Odyssey at the time, I think, where there are a bunch of different like planets and locations. And it was just I liked the progressive nature of that game. You know, you drop off somewhere and you like just explore, see what you can find. And then based on how much stuff you can accumulate, that depicts whether you can move on to the next location. I just really loved that design. So I thought, I'll try and make something that reflects that.
What sort of photographer are you?
I'm a very, like, these days I'm a very low effort photographer. Like I just take out like a point and shoot or anything that I've got and never put too much effort into my shots. Just like if I see something nice, I'll take a snap of it. I grew up like using a lot of Instagram, following a lot of photography and visual art on there. And there were lots of inspiring people a lot of whom did a lot of travel, went to Asia, Europe, took lots of amazing photos. I do love, if it's not already obvious, like hiking and taking photos out in nature, just of like scenery. And yeah, it's kind of hard to describe, I guess, but what about yourself? What kind of photographer are you?
I love people. I'm really drawn to that. And I like to think I like capturing a moment in a day. That's the thing that inspires me. If I can get that perfect moment, especially when you are able to take a photo of someone in an incredible place and you are almost like just looking through a window when you're not, you know, you haven't asked them to set up the shot. It's not framed up like you're doing a portrait. You've just literally opened the lens and captured a second. And that's what I love to see. That's probably a lot of,
yeah, I agree.
You know, a lot of my, you know, and if you can catch, you know, the micro expressions on people's faces that they sometimes might not give you in the day to day, but if you can get that little tiny moment in between, that for me is something really inspiring. It's interesting you talk about hiking, and interesting sort of like, you know, there's so much of this in terms of what it is. Was there any, I guess, feeling about including more in this world? Like when you, because tell me, you know, I've played through the bits and pieces that I played through, but it's kind of here by yourself as far as I can tell, other than the sort of remnants of people. But was there any thoughts to do that, or is there more people in this game than?
I mean, there are no people. I guess I had that design constraint from the start. Like, because I'm working by myself, I thought there's no way I can like put in like a realistic human being in this game without it feeling like super jarring. But then also, like, while I'm traveling, I kind of love like just wandering around by myself. Sometimes I find that's the best parts of travel. Like a couple months ago, I did a solo trek in Japan on the Nakasendo Trail. I walked that for a few days on my own, and I remembered like, oh yeah, it's just so great to just be out there on your own, just like not have a true goal aside from get from A to B. So I think it's a combination of both reasons. I think I do want to kind of promote like the enjoyment you get from just being immersed in where you are and just like wandering around. So I hope people feel that way when they play.
What sort of places can you visit? Are there all places that you've been to, or are there places that you have just seen?
Yeah, we've got, there are 10 locations, most of which I've been to. The ones I've been to are Australia, French Alps, Italian Alps, the Japanese temples. So there's Kyoto and there's Yamadera. And there's a fictional one set in the UK. And I've been to the UK, but it's not a real location. So the places I haven't been to are Iceland and Nepal and China, the East China Sea. So those three are really high on my bucket list for travel, for sure, especially Nepal, actually. Someday I hope. I found those places from other photographers that I'd seen and other content that I've seen. I just thought it was really like inspiring and cool. And I wanted to add like more variety to the set of environments I already had. So
did you use any other photographers' work in the inspiration of it, of places you've actually been to? Because I can imagine if you're trying to look at a place you haven't been to, you're relying on others. But I'm wondering, did someone else snap a picture of a temple that you have visited?
Yeah, the East China Sea one. There's a village that's like an abandoned fishing village in China. I saw a photographer went there, and there were these really like insane looking photos of all these buildings that were just overcome with like leaves and grass. And I just thought that was so cool. So that was the inspiration for the China environment. I've gotten inspiration from all sorts of places. Like the Iceland one, I was watching, have you seen Rogue One, the Star Wars movie Rogue One? Yeah, at the start of that, there's like a really cool Icelandic scene there, and I just love the colors in that. So I thought like that could make a cool scene. And then that's what led on to being Iceland.
That black beach and the green plants kind of growing in that completely dark soil.
Yeah, it was Mads Mikkelsen's home. I forgot his character in the film. For those environments that I haven't been to, it was, yeah, just random thoughts, inspirations that popped up. But for the ones that I have been to, it was definitely, yeah, the experience of being there myself and the photos that I took when I first went there.
Can you win in this game?
I've sort of set it up to be a game where, like, you don't have to do anything, you know, like, there are some goals and objectives and guidelines, but it doesn't like put them in front of you at any given time. You're just sort of left to seek them out if you want to. And so at the end, there is a chance to let the credits roll, but it's not like a predetermined thing. Like I haven't set up the game that it's a certainty for everybody. Like I sort of imagine a lot of people will depending on how drawn they are to the game, like finish somewhere in between or maybe go all the way to the end. So I just hope people are comfortable playing. Like I sort of personally get a bit tired of games that you sort of feel like you have to finish. You feel like you're obliged to finish them. They sort of feel quite linear, and there are a couple more like sequences or cutscenes or whatever you have to get through, and you're just sort of like, oh, okay, you know. I don't know. So, yeah, there is progression. There are objectives, but that's not the priority. Yeah, the priority is just to like do what you want at any given moment.
One thing that struck me was the soundtrack, and I'm curious how you kind of came about putting that together for each of the places that you've
been. I listen to a lot of music. I've been putting together playlists for like a long time. And so when the release was coming around, I thought, I'll see how many songs on this list I can get a music license for. So I just went down the list and emailed all these music publishers. And some were really awesome. Some were just independent artists that had self-published, and they were like super great to work with. And then on the other end, there were some like big labels that required like permission from five different departments. And the price was just out of reach. So that happens too. But all in all, I'm very, very happy with the soundtrack. Like I was able to get a lot more songs from my original like set of songs that I expected. So I'm very excited for people to hear the soundtrack. I hope they find something that they enjoy and they listen to in their spare time.
Have you walked a track listening to the soundtrack?
Like I guess at this point I'm like, every time one of the game songs comes on, I'm just like, oh no.
Skip it, next one.
Can't get into it. It's been too much debugging, too much of the same song intro just like kicking in. But no, I do love the songs, but I listen to different stuff now. I'd probably make entirely different playlists if I were to choose again.
Now you've reached this point where the game is very close to release. I'm curious about what you look back on and kind of would wish you could have told yourself at the very beginning of this project.
I would have told myself how to, yeah, I guess developers always tell themselves to organize their code better, even though it might not be possible. Like I'm really tripping over myself these days with like old code that I wrote like 5 years ago. And definitely wish I could have done a bit better there. Aside from that, you know, I have sort of almost done like kind of a loop, like going this route with this game. Like I've found out a lot of things that I could pursue if I had the time and like, for example, new gaming platforms, like things like Switch, PlayStation. I would now like sort of understand the commitment that they are, and I'm not sure if I'll pursue them again for that reason. Like at the time I, it made sense and there was the demand there from people, but I guess I've just gained a lot of perspective. I don't know if I would have done a whole lot that differently, but I know what to avoid.
And one bit of advice that you would give to players who are loading up the game for the very first time, what do you want them to come into this with? What do they need to know?
Yeah, it's the same with most stuff, that you should just avoid any material if you can and just go in blind. I don't know. I guess depends on what you're looking for out of it. I think my reaction is to say don't expect too much because, you know, it's a solo developed project. I've hopefully just included as much as I could to keep, like, photographers happy and to keep like calm gamers happy, like gamers who sort of just enjoy vibing out in something for a little bit. If they hear that, maybe they'll be happy. I think a lot of gaming is sort of straying away from that perspective a little bit, like that there needs to be more involvement, like more intrigue, more tasks, I guess just keep an open mind would be the best thing to say.
It's called Lush Foil Photography Simulator. You can find it on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation from the 15th of April if you're in the US and the 16th for us here in Australia. Matt Newell, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's no problem, Matt. This is great. Thank you.
Hey there, Kyle here, dropping in to let you know we're trying something a little bit different with Droprate. We're calling it Speedrun, short little bite-sized reviews. I'm kicking off with the Dark Queen of Mortone, a poignant pay-what-you-want anti-game for Souls players that lets you step into the shoes of the big bad. Have you ever paused and wondered what the bosses in a Souls game feel when they see you return again and again and again, each time changing strategies, improving and leveling up? Probably not, hey? Well, you will after you play The Dark Queen of Mortone. You can find Drop Rate on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, sifter.com.au, or wherever you like to listen.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/discord.
So this has been Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. Sifter is produced by myself, Fiona Bartholomeus, Kyle Paletto, Courtney Smith, Daniel Ang, Adam Christou, and Chris Button, as well as Kat Gianni. Mitch Lowe is senior producer. And as I said at the beginning, my name is Gianni DiGiovanni. I'm the executive producer of Sifter. Thanks to Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter. If you like the show, best thing you can do is tell someone about it. You can send them a link and say, hey, this is a cool episode. Give it a go. Or you can give us a rating and a review. That also works really nicely. You can do that on Pocket Cast, on Spotify, on Apple, whatever is your favorite platform. Or leave us a comment on YouTube. That's all the time we've got for now. We'll catch you on the next episode of Lightmap. Until next time, have fun.